coming, and now I think a lot of people feel this. And one of the things that I process a lot is the information overload everybody has. So not only are they kind of weary from all the things they have to do, there's almost this burden from all of the stuff that you're supposed to be thinking about all the time. So you're doing stuff, you're supposed to think about things, and all of this is just happening, and we're just one human being just trying to make it. And so I put this little picture up here and asked you to kind of think about what is the easy life. Like for you, when you think ease, when you think things would be easy and things wouldn't be so exhausting or so tiring, how do we get this easy life? I think there's a lot of things that are supposed to fulfill the promise of an easy life. In fact, most technology is invented to make life easier. Yet often, it is the same technology that causes us problems. Cell phones are probably the most obvious. Oh my goodness, I was like, did you hear that? Yeah, that was pretty amazing. I know, I'm so OCD, I had that planned so perfect. Yeah, that's amazing. Cell phones are a great example, though. So cell phones were introduced to make our lives easier. I can remember getting my first cell phone that had a camera on it, so I remember that, and I was like, oh, this makes everything better, everything easier. Except over time, cell phones didn't make my life easier, and I'm just speaking for me. They actually created more work, more stress, more things for me to think about, more ways for people to get a hold of me anytime they wanted. I really like being able to go away and nobody can get a hold of me. That makes me very happy. Well, that kind of stopped. I even did this for my children. For my kids, I told them, we're not going to track you. We've never tracked our kids on their phones. We don't track their cars. I have no idea where my children, I know where one of my children is right now, but I have no idea where my children would be on a day-to-day basis, even when they were in junior high, even when they're in high school. We did this to kind of give this thing of like, you do not always have to have someone worrying about you all the time. Now, I know to some of you, that means I'm a horrible parent. I'll accept that, and that's fine. But for me, it was the ability to say, sometimes we just don't want to be burdened by always the pressure of life. Always something coming, someone needing us. Over time, it's exhausting. This is why workers are tired. This is why people fall asleep at odd times. It is interesting to note, then, this easy life. What is this easy life? That easy is not a word God used for his people. It didn't really come out of God's mouth in the Old Testament, specifically. When you go throughout Scripture, you would see these people who worked alongside God. People like we're supposed to be, like you're supposed to be. You're not just supposed to live your life trying, you know, to make as easy as possible, as comfortable as possible. We're actually supposed to take on some sort of task for God. That is what God is really about at his core. And so throughout Scripture, he would give these tasks to ordinary people, just like us. I'll give you some names. Some of them you'll know. People like Abraham, super ordinary dude. God gives him a really difficult task. Later, he gives the same to Moses. He gives the same to Esther. I mean, Esther had to basically save the Israelite people. And she had no ability, she had no power, no authority, and she did it. Later in the New Testament, we see with Peter and John and Paul, all of them, ordinary people, given really difficult tasks, some that seemed monumental, too much. Easy was not an option. Monumental tasks for ordinary people. So if you're sitting in here and you're going, I'm a pretty ordinary person, and I feel pretty inundated with the weariness of life and the burdens put on me by others and technology and information overload. And I get a little exhausted. And I'm not really sure how I'd be able to do any tasks for God. God looks at you and goes, ah, you're perfect. Perfect. It's exactly what I want. I would like you to come alongside me and work alongside me. You ordinary human being. Because that's God's way of doing things. To live a life that matters means being a person that kind of faces these things head on. See, Jesus actually only uses the word himself one time, but not for us, not for you and I to have an easy life. Jesus uses the word ease, easy, one time, talking about himself. Look at Matthew 11. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, it is easy, and my burden, it is light. Now that first verse, verse 28, is really a nice verse. It's a pleasant verse. I'll read it again. Come to me, Jesus says. It's almost just like, come. You're tired. You're exhausted. You're burdened. You're fatigued. You're not sure where to turn. You feel very ordinary. You feel like you couldn't accomplish a task for me. Come. Come to me. If you're weary and burdened, and I will give you one thing. I will give you rest. If I stopped there, it just feels good. It just kind of has this nice, I mean, we could even just kind of sit in that for a second. Be like, whew, I can breathe in that. But sometimes when we don't know where to go, and Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, we sense that weariness and that burden almost making it hard to get us towards Jesus. I've had people who tell me many times, like, man, I really wish I'd go to church. I have a guy right now, I've been trying to get him to come to the Journey many, many times. I've probably invited him seriously a dozen times. He's like, oh, I'd really come there, but what time is it? I'm like, 10:30. He's like, oh, that's really rough on the weekends. I'm like, all right, I don't know what to do for you. Like, it is even weary and burdensome to say, I'm going to come to church. Just so you know those two words, weary in the Greek is exhausted from trying. I mean, just kind of think about that phrase. This is what Jesus is saying. Are you exhausted from just trying? Just getting up in the morning, are you exhausted? Are you worn out? Weary is about us individually. We feel weary. Burdened is another word. Burden in the Greek is weighed down by burdens placed on us by somebody else. This could be a boss. This could be a friend. This could be a neighbor. This could be someone in your family. This could be all the responsibilities you have that nobody even knows about. Some of the things that you take care of that other people do not know you're taking care of. And it's not just weary internally, it's burdened by the things of others, weighed down by these things that are placed on you. And Jesus' offer is, okay, well, come to me. Because there are other options for us to go to. There are other things in which we can put our minds and our behaviors and our lives. Most of the time, these are compulsions and addictions and things that kind of not only keep us from God, but really they keep us from actually finding rest. Most of those things make us more exhausted, more tired, and so Jesus is kind of beckoning us. Why don't you come this way? Now, if we stop there, this verse is kind of interesting, it's meaningful, but out of nowhere, Jesus starts with all this yoke talk. Y-O-K-E. What is a yoke? Now, some of you, I'm sure, know. You may have a farming background. You've heard this verse before, but I'll give you examples of yokes. It is an interesting tool in farming, and it ties oxen together, specifically in first century Israel, so that the oxen could more easily plow a field. So it wasn't that you were just doubling your oxen when you put them together and you tied them together. It actually did a couple of things. One of the things, it actually made them more powerful than just two oxen. It was kind of a multiplication of them. The other piece that was pretty cool that it would do, it actually made it easier for the two of them. They were able to kind of lean on each other at different times. And so this was put on these two oxen to plow these fields together. And in the first century, you would use the word yoke. You would kind of talk about that big thing where you were yoked. You would use it in these two definitions. You could use the first definition, which is, I'm going to subjugate you. I'm going to put you in stocks, basically. I am going to make you and force you into labor or even slavery. For these of you who don't know, in the Roman world, most everybody was a slave. I mean, really, that's the way it was. You are forced into some sort of subjugation. That's definition number one. The second definition, yoke, is just simply the binding together of two things. It's a metaphor. It's the uniting two things as one. At the time of Jesus, the Jewish leaders would talk about being yoked to the rules of the Old Testament. You would go and you'd read your Old Testament. They didn't call it the Old Testament, right? The Torah. But for us, the Old Testament, 39 books, and there were these rules to follow. And a lot of the rules were good Jewish rules. They had been following them for centuries, millenniums even. And so you would yoke yourselves to following the rules in the Old Testament. Jesus comes along and he sees this and he says, being yoked to those rules is exhausting in and of itself. It's weary and burdensome. It wears you out internally, but it's a burden placed on you that you're supposed to follow these specific Old Testament rules. So Jesus says, yes, I want you to live in the right way. I actually want you to behave well. I don't think the Ten Commandments are something Jesus would go, no, don't do those. He likes a lot of the stuff there. It's just more about, are you yoking yourself to these rules? Are you subjugating yourself? Are you becoming this slave to these rules that you feel like I have to do these things? Or are you going to the second definition, which is actually the word Jesus is using here twice? He offers this definition of the binding together of two things, the uniting as one. I'll go back to the verse. Take my yoke upon you. He's basically offering us a different kind of yoke. Not a yoke in which, okay, do the right things, and you're allowed to be yoked with me. Instead, he is saying, no. I want you to yoke with me because I actually want to walk alongside you. This isn't a burden. I'm not subjugating you. I'm going to say we're going to multiply our ability to do great things in this world. I'm saying that when you get weak, I'll be strong. We're going to be okay because we're going to be yoked together like two oxen would be in the field. We're not subjugated to make sure we're in the kingdom of heaven by, you know, following some set of prescribed rules. We bind ourselves to Jesus. Jesus wants us to live this kind of unified life with him. Now, you may feel this. Sometimes you may feel like, oh, I feel good because I'm yoked with Jesus. And life seems a little lighter. But maybe there's times you come out of that yoke, not that you're not with Jesus in a general sense, but in terms of living alongside him, and you go in different directions. You may go into the rules direction, you may go into the addictions directions, the compulsions directions, anything you can maybe do because you think you're on your own going to make your life easier. But look what Jesus says at the end. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. If you come yoke with me, that's where you'll find an easier life. Not because life's easy, but because you're walking alongside me. And I think Jesus would say this, almost implicit in this, when you go to the other yokes, when you go to other things and you become slaves to them, life actually gets much, much harder. Because Jesus cares deeply when we are weary and burdened. We may even pray to Jesus. We may even go, God, I really need you to take away the hard things, all these hard things. Life's so hard. All the difficulties, all the pain, all the struggle, take it away. And Jesus goes, I'm giving you a different option. I'm not going to give you an easy life. I'm not going to let you just sit in a hammock of comfort. That's not the way the world works. You are going to have really, really difficult times. You might even have diseases. You might even go through some massive relational struggles, some financial problems. You're just going to go through those because that's the way the world works. There's no easy life. But there is an easy yoke. There is a way for my life to actually feel easier. If I come over here and I let God walk alongside me and I walk alongside him, plowing the field of life, if you want to make it a big metaphor. This option means that the hard things may always be there, but Jesus is also there. For me, this is no just flowery language. This isn't just like, oh yeah, Jesus is there with me. It's like, no, I'm going to consciously live my life like this. I'm going to take and try to free myself from the weariness and the burdens of life by focusing a little more on Jesus and a little less on all of this stuff. What this brings is not an easy life. There's a word it brings that is so closely tied to grace that sometimes they can be synonymous. And that word is freedom. We don't think of those two words together, but they are together. In many ways, in the New Testament, they're bound together. We find freedom in Christ by finding grace in Christ. If you ever say that I want the grace of God, what you're really saying is I want the freedom of God. I want to be free to be me. When I'm yoked with Christ, life gets easier and I'm free. It's such an odd idea, right? Because over here, I get to yoke with whatever I want. I get to do whatever I want. But the burden's really heavy. It doesn't work well. Over here, the burden becomes lighter because freedom starts to come in. Freedom for my soul. Some examples I put up there where I'm free from exhaustion. It's not that, again, that there's, you know, a lack of things to do in the world. There's always more responsibilities. I've told you for my life, one of the things I've tried to do over the last 15 years is just take on the next responsibility I can. What's been fascinating is every time I took on another responsibility, it was a little harder. I was like, okay, I did that. I scaled that mountain. I feel good. Another one came, and another one came, and they're still coming. And you start to get into practice of like, oh, I can do these things. I can serve God. I can serve others. I can take responsibility for more than just myself. And instead of it being a burden and weary, if I yoke myself with Christ, it starts to feel easier. It's why sometimes people will talk to people who have lots of responsibility, and they'll be like, man, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. And it's like, oh, this is how people do it. When you're yoked with Christ, it starts to make some sense how you can take some things on. Maybe some of those monumental tasks I was talking about at the beginning. You are never alone in these things in these ways. You're also free to serve then. We lose the need to close ranks in on ourselves. So here's what I have found for my own life. When I unyoke with Christ on just kind of this daily basis, and I'm going to go yoke with other things to make myself feel good and feel happy, try to find easier life, what I find is that I get more and more self-focused. I just kind of get more selfish over here. It's not purposeful. It just happens. I think about the things I care about. I get mad at more things. I don't know if you ever find yourself mad at more things and you start feeling that anger, like, why am I doing this? Is this beneficial for me? Is this beneficial for anybody? I just could sit over here because I yoke basically with me and the things that I want to do to make life easier. So think of it this way. If you aim for an easy life, you're going to find the life ends up being more difficult. That's really what I'm saying. But if you aim for an easy soul, which is over here with God. If you aim for an easy soul, you find yourself tackling really hard assignments for God. Things you right now are going, well, that's not me. There's some people in here, I know, those are the special people. They do the hard things for God. No, opposite. Very ordinary, basic people do really amazing things for God when they yoke with Him. Anyone here can do the exact same thing. If you aim for an easy life, though, you will come up empty. It's one of the reasons I like being part of the Journey Church. I just see a lot of easy souls around here. I see some people here who I watch them, and I'm like, man, they just kind of do things, and they're just kind of relaxed in it, and their anxiety is low, and I watch them, like, yeah, they're pretty yoked with Christ. This is how they've chosen to live. No, they don't have an easy life, but serving alongside Jesus becomes a staple of an easy soul. The next one on that is freedom, this grace. What it does is it gives us a lack of hurry. There's this great part in the book of Mark. The disciples have been doing all sorts of great things. They're just kind of going around with Jesus. They're teaching and they're healing and they're showing the grace of Jesus. And they're about to feed 5,000 people, one of the great miracles. People know about this one. They hear about this one. Even people who've never been to church, they know this idea of the feeding of the 5,000 by just a small little lunch from this little boy. Jesus does this miraculous thing. So there's tons of things happening. It's a very intense time in Jesus' ministry. Mark chapter 6. And right in the middle of all this, here's what Jesus does. The apostles gathered around Jesus. They reported to him. I mean, I say they were probably pretty excited. Look at all the things we've done. Look at all the things we've taught. We're doing it, Jesus. You sent us out two by two to do some great things for you. We are all ordinary fishermen, just ordinary workers, construction workers. Some of these guys, there was a tax collector. There's this just group of men just said, okay, I'll sign up, I'll follow Jesus. And he goes, okay, I'm going to have some monumental tasks for you. And he gives them to them, and they go and do them, and they're excited. So they report back, and Jesus nods, and he says to them, great, come with me by yourselves, and we're going to go to a quiet place, and we're going to get some rest. It's like Jesus says, listen, you're doing cool things, that's all great, but even now I want you to stop, and I just want you to yoke yourself with me. He takes him back to verse 28. Come all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. If you yoke yourself with me, the burden is light. Slow down in life. Rest in Jesus. When you do this, you will be confident and ready to take on the next important task. By the way, after they did that, they fed the 5,000. And the last one, we're free from spiritual fatigue. I said earlier that people are weary and burdened emotionally, physically, psychologically. I get it. People are exhausted. But being yoked with Jesus avoids spiritual fatigue. Basically, being yoked with Christ lets me spiritually calm myself. Being yoked with Christ actually allows me to let the grace that flows into me overflow to others. This is true of any of us in here. I like to give this analogy. First time I gave this analogy, I was looking it up. It's almost 30 years ago I gave this analogy for the first time. A funnel versus an overflowing cup. It's just something that's been very meaningful for me. Is that I think of that funnel idea as that God's love flows through you. And I heard this one time, a long time ago. Someone said, God's love is just supposed to flow through you. And I agree with that. I always kind of talk about it here. I want to be a conduit of God's grace. God's grace comes to me. I want to give it out to other people. So I love the idea. But it's hard to ever feel full. Or if something doesn't go right in life, or if you get knocked down and you feel like the water is stopped, you can get really dry. So I've always liked the idea on the right side of the overflowing cup. Just kind of the way a good soul works, that I am in prayer with Christ, I come to church, I'm involved, I serve, I read the Bible, I easily start to bless others because over time I get filled up so much that I'm overflowing into other people's life. Grace becomes this natural way of living. So as we end this series on letting go, part of this letting go that we've been doing in the fall is realizing that being an overflowing cup, it takes a little bit of energy to come over here and yoke with Christ. It's intentional. I have to make a choice on it almost every day. And there's so many ways in which I can rest like that with Christ. I think one of those is here. I think coming to church, coming to the journey is what Jesus gave us to help us with our flow. It's a reminder that we have a place to grow. We have a place to learn. We have a place to serve. In fact, I think of church kind of like this. I tried to give another picture of this best I could. Just kind of, we're like overflowing into each other. Like we're always blessing one another. I think about the amount of people at the journey each week who have that easy soul who bless me. I watch people who expend energy, who serve, who care, who look out for other people. I actually watch it over and over with so many of you, even with my own father. Just care and serve and love. It's this kind of overflowing soul that says, there's ease in how I'm trying to live. There's joy in living like this. It's not an easy life, but there is joy. I know for me, I often expend a lot of energy on a Sunday, a lot more than I did when I was first doing this. And yet, I almost every Sunday go home filled with energy. I talk to other pastors I have over the years, and they're like, man, I always get a good nap on a Sunday afternoon. And you can ask my wife, I never nap on a Sunday afternoon, ever. I'm actually just filled with life. You want to know what I do on a Sunday afternoon? Because I get so much life from people here. I will do this today. I go back and start preparing even harder for next Sunday. That happens all the time. So I will go home today. I will probably spend an hour or two on my Sunday afternoon, probably before the Broncos game or after the Broncos game, but I will do that, and I will spend some time expending energy for next week. I encourage you, if you want to have a time of letting go, is to explore creation. You go and you kind of explore the expansive world God has given us. There is something about, the term we use is recreation, recreate. We recreate ourselves. We go and create again what God has already placed in us. It is why we should be watching sunrises and sunsets, why the sky was just so brilliant this week and so many people posted pictures. But you can go for a walk or a hike or a run or go drive in the mountains, but you calm yourself in the beauty of God's creation. And then finally, you rest in the sacred. You pray. I encourage you to start praying daily, to make it something that you yoke yourself with Christ every single day. If you don't know how to pray, a couple weeks ago I told you to go to Matthew chapter 5 through 7. I said that is the Sermon on the Mount. There's a great, just a great, beautiful piece of literature. I told you a couple weeks ago, it is, I think, the most important piece of literature that has ever been written. If you go and read Matthew 5 through 7, right at the beginning in verse 9 through 13, there is the Lord's Prayer. Some people think of the Lord's Prayer as like a Catholic thing. It is not a Catholic thing. It is a biblical thing. Anyone can use this from any denomination. I encourage you, if you're not sure how to pray, start there. Just start reading that Lord's Prayer. You might even memorize it. And as you go and you get into Matthew 5 through 7 and you start to pray a little bit more, you'll start to see yourself yoked with Christ. You continue to read your Bible. If you haven't read Matthew 5 through 7, go and do that. Make that a point. There's Bibles back there. They're yours. Take one for free. You start coming to church on a regular basis. You're around people who have that same mindset. I'll put that back up there, that overflowing mindset. You make a point to be grateful. When you yoke with Christ, you stop being so selfish and you start thinking about the things you have. There is no entitlement with gratitude. It's impossible. As soon as you let go of gratitude, you're upset by the things that aren't working for you, aren't working in the world, aren't working. Over here, you start to be grateful for the things that you have. And then ultimately, find time to rest. Find time to be quiet, to be silent. And so I want to close today with a way for us to maybe rest like this. And so we're going to do a brief sacred practice, just kind of a way for us to, even in this moment, that we take our weariness and our burdens and we come to Christ and we rest. So if you've never done the Lectio Divina before, I'm going to put it up here. Some of you may have done this. If you haven't, we're going to do this just for a moment. And you can do this with any scripture you're reading, anything. You can pause and go through these four steps. And the passage I want us to reflect on is Matthew 11, 28 today. And we'll just kind of take and step through this so it's something you could learn to do for yourself. Step one is that you quiet yourself, that you take some deep breaths, and I would encourage you right now just to kind of calm your spirit right where you're at. Maybe you have some anxiety that you brought into here about life, relationships. Just kind of breathe in and breathe out and just kind of calm yourself. And ask God to open your heart. Ask God to provide spiritual truths as you reflect. And then we'll go to the second piece, which is read through this passage slowly. So I'm going to put it up there. And I'm going to ask you to take a few times in kind of a calm space to slowly read through that passage and let the words sink in. I'll read those for us again. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes and listen to them one more time. And in a state of prayer, just kind of hear maybe Jesus saying these words to you. Come to me. all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And as you stay in a state of prayer with God, ask yourself some questions. What emotions are coming out of me? Maybe it's fear, anger, joy, sadness, maybe shame. What emotions are coming out of me? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Another question, where do you see your needs in this reading? Where do you see your needs in this reading? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Final question, where can your faith be strengthened? As we do the final step, I'm going to have the worship team come to lead us. And we'll take this step into the Eucharist. And I'd ask you for step four to focus on one specific word in Matthew 11, 28. And maybe it's the word me. What is your deepest need? Maybe it's that word weary. Maybe you're just... you're tired of trying. Maybe it's the word burden, that you've had a lot of things placed on you that feel overwhelming right now. And you need to talk to God and ask Him to come alongside you, to yoke with you. And maybe the word is just rest, that you just needed some spiritual rest. So take a moment in prayer. And choose a word there. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And take that word into prayer to God. And see the journey right now is just this room, a place of rest for your soul. And when you're ready, go and respond to God at the table. Christ's body there, symbolized by the bread. Christ's blood there, symbolized by the wine. You dip the bread into the wine as you take it into your body. Respond. I'll pray for us as we go. Lord, thank you for inviting us. Come to me. It's an invitation. You invite us to be yoked with you. That your burden is light because we are walking alongside you. That there is rest there. That the heaviness of life becomes lighter. That our attitude changes. That we become healthier. We grow with you. God, today, just give us rest for our souls as we go to the table. And renew the strength of everyone in this room. It's in your name, Jesus, I pray.